Good to be with you again this year. And I'm going to preach on Peter today. Turn to the book of Titus, if you will, to open up. We'll read the theme verse. And then we'll go talk about Peter for a while. What I really want to do is just emphasize what Brother Morris just preached. If you heard him preach, I'm just going to try to massage that a little bit. And because you need to get saved, then you need to learn how to study to show yourself approved unto God. You need to learn, you need to grow. And that's the whole thing. You know, I've always got to read a funny, though. That's who I am. I got a good one for you, I hope. If you don't laugh, it ain't my fault. It's called the Kitchen Saga. A wife was making breakfast, a breakfast of fried eggs for her husband, when he burst into the kitchen. "Careful," he cried, "careful. Put in some butter. Oh my goodness, you're cooking too many at once. Too many. Turn them now before you burn them. We need more butter. Oh my word. Where are we going to get more butter? They're going to stick. Careful. Careful, I say it. You never listen to me when you're cooking. Never. Turn them. Hurry up. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Don't forget to salt them. Well, you got to put salt. You always forget to salt. Use the salt." The wife stared at him in amazement. "What in the world's wrong with you? You think I don't know how to fry a couple eggs?" The husband calmly replied, "I wanted to show you what it feels like when I'm driving." Titus chapter number 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. It goes on to say, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I like that, before the world began. "But hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me." It's the mystery of Christ, folks. "According to the commandment of God our Savior." It's the dispensation committed unto Paul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege now to stand and open up your word and preach. I pray, Lord, for the next few moments, Lord, as we look into your word, I pray your spirit will help us see the things that are here. And Lord, I pray, as I often pray, I pray that your word will be just as real to us as it is to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the name that's above every name. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I want to talk to you today a little bit about Peter. When Peter writes this second epistle, you have to understand that Peter has come a long way in knowledge. I used to say that I was Peter when I was a Baptist preacher. Because I like Peter. And Peter would always stick his foot in his mouth. You've read about him doing that, haven't you? I've done that all the time. I'd stick my foot in my mouth all the time. Not literally. I couldn't get it up that high. But I said things that I'd say, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that." And sometimes I still have to say, "Oh, we hadn't done that." But you know, knowledge is a good thing, and you should learn. Always learn. Don't ever get satisfied where you're at. Always press toward the mark. And that high calling, you want to continue to go forward. And Peter here, when he writes the second epistle here, Peter has some knowledge. He's come from kind of dumb to a man with some knowledge. And I hope that, you know, you kind of like I heard a preacher say one time, God ought to have killed you when he first saved you. Because you're kind of like a wasp. You're bigger at birth than you ever are. But you know, you have to grow, you have to learn. You're cleaner. Folks, I just believe when God saves you, He saves you, your sins are forgiven, you're baptized into the body of Christ, you're a part of the body of Christ. You're in Him. How can that be bad? How can that be sinful? You're in Christ and you have to learn to grow. You make mistakes and you come along the way. Peter here, he's made mistakes, but he's grown. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10 is going to be the verse we're going to wind up on. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, abundantly into the everlasting. You know, the Baptists used to preach, and I guess they still do. I mean, I hear them occasionally, but I don't sit under it like I used to and like I used to preach. Used to say, well, you better make sure you're saved, boy. If you're not saved, you better check up. If you're doing this and you're doing that, you better check up. You might not be saved. You know, I heard about a preacher one time. Brother Gary Jordan told me that a preacher he sat under for years had his whole congregation. They done all got saved again. You know what that is? It's confusion. It's confusion when you don't know whether you're saved or not. I hope today you know that you're saved. I hope you know that you have your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's there. If you have that, you are saved by God's grace. He says here in make your peace, calling, election sure. You ever heard that commercial? Everybody in here probably has. Raise your hands if you're sure. That's not saying, are you sure you're saved? That's saying, make it fixed, make it stable, on a sure foundation. Are you sure? You see, Peter's talking to some people in his day, but he's also talking to some people over here in the future. In this 70th week of Daniel, when the wrath is going to come, in that time period right there, Peter's writing to people over here that's going to have to be sure who they are. He's writing to people that they're going to have to know who they are, where they're at. And he says, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, obtained like precious faith. With us, how did they get it? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that's kind of just about like what you got, isn't it? Go over to Romans chapter number 3. There's not a person, one, whether it's in Israel's program or the body of Christ, that is not saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people get confused on that, saying it's all the same, when they never understand truth about rightly dividing the word of truth. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. If you read verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It's the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon, here's your faith, upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a person here hadn't sinned. Not a person in Moses' day didn't sin. It's Jesus Christ. They're saved and secured through the blood of Christ like you. Even though Christ hadn't died in their day, they'd done the things that God gave them to do in the Old Testament, and they'd done those things by their faith in the God of Israel. But the blood still takes care of them. If you look back at verse 28. Therefore we conclude, what's the conclusion of the finished cross work of Christ? That a man is justified by faith. Without the deeds of the law. You're made righteous by faith. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Brother Morris said, pay attention to words. Pay attention to details. The circumcision by faith, the uncircumcision through faith. I go back over there to 2 Peter again. And Peter puts it out just like it ought to be in verse number 1. by inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, the inspired word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 30. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 2. Grace and peace. That sounds a lot like Paul, don't it? You know why? Peter's already read all 13 epistles of Paul. Peter studied them. Peter knows them. Peter knows what's going on in Paul's program. Finally, I mean, 18 years into Paul's ministry, Paul finally goes up to Jerusalem, and Peter, James, and John said, Yeah. That's what it is. Okay, we got it. 18 years into Paul's ministry it took for him to get it, though. Peter now, though, he's moving on in knowledge, isn't he? Peter's still not sitting right here. He's not the same one that he used to be. Peter's grown up some. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. See, when Peter writes his book, he knows something. Turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Grace and peace is multiplied to you in that passage. It's multiplied to you through the knowledge. It's multiplied again through the knowledge. Peter has some knowledge now that he used to not have. Back over here in Matthew chapter number 4. If you notice in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ is coming along. The day before this, he meets Jesus Christ, Andrew, and talks to Peter about the Lord. And this is the day following. In verse number, 18. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. The word of God came to them. Jesus is God in flesh. He says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know what they done? They followed him. When Peter takes off following, though, he ain't got much knowledge. He just knows he's the Messiah. And he's following him because he'd talked to him the day before. So they're going along, and Peter's following along. Matthew 16. Peter's following Jesus here, but he needs just a little bit more knowledge. He needs to get him some more knowledge. He needs to grow a little bit. Matthew 16, verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and rise again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter's not come up to speed on his knowledge yet, has he? He's trying to tell Jesus, oh no, that ain't going to happen to you. No, we ain't letting that happen. No, you're the Messiah. We're going to set up the kingdom. Peter's already been walking with him. How can you walk with somebody and you see them make blind eyes see? I mean, you heal the cripple. You raise the dead. Peter sat here and said, I know he's the Messiah. I know who he is. He's the Christ. Peter said, we're going to set the kingdom up. A lot of people that saved today, they're a lot like Peter. Boy, they got some knowledge, hadn't they? But they just don't have enough yet. They gung-ho in what they believe, but they not quite got to where they need to be yet. I mean, Peter's ready to go. Turn you about, let's see, what did I read? Did I read through verse number 23? But he turned and said unto Peter, Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You know, too many people today running into tradition of men, aren't they? That tradition of men, following men. And that's Jesus told him, said, you get behind me. Go to John 18. John chapter 18. I'm going to try to keep track on time. I try not to be too long, but I want to get the point across. You know, Peter, I guess Peter could say, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's what Peter could say, isn't it? John chapter 18, verse number 3. Well, you know, verse 1 and 2 talks about Jesus speaking to his disciples. He goes across the brook Kidron. He goes into the garden. Judas knows where he's at. He knows where he's gone to. And Judas has got him a band of soldiers, got him some weapons and stuff. He's going after him. And they come there to the garden. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come to pass, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. I was thinking about something else in that passage, and what made me say that was I was thinking on Nathanael. You remember Nathanael? He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And when I read that word Nazareth there, my mind went there, and I was reading the wrong words, but that's what I was thinking. In verse 5, he says, they answered Jesus of Nazareth. That was Nathanael that said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. I mean, can't you just see Peter? Oh, yeah. Man, did you see that? He just said, I am he, and they... Boy, who wouldn't want to follow somebody like that? Peter's excited, man. The Messiah! Gonna set up the kingdom. Peter's getting all excited. He gets so excited. Let's see. Verse number 10. Then Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And I promise you, Peter wasn't helling him a night. He was trying to put him good night. He was trying to put him out. He's looking for the kingdom. He's ready. He's with the Messiah. Jesus just spoke. Man, he just threw them all backwards. Peter's ready to go. Something happened though, didn't it? You know, just like Peter at that point in time, you remember Anna, the prophetess? You remember Simeon? They were looking for the Messiah too. They were looking for the redemption of Israel. Nobody wasn't looking for him to really go to the cross. Peter sure wasn't. He grabbed him and rebuked him for saying he was going. So some things take place. Verse number 11. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away. I mean, can you not see Peter? Man, he just spoke and knocked him to the ground. And now he's just like a little lamb. He just gave up. He didn't even put up a fight. You got to understand, Peter wasn't no coward. He's just kind of confused in his mind right now. Peter's got some confusion going on. Have you ever started in right division, and all of a sudden you got some confusion? You know, maybe that might be a cult. Maybe that might not. That ain't what I've been taught all my life. Because if you've been in the tradition of men, you've been taught what they wanted you to hear. You've been taught Bible scripture. You know, some things take place. Peter's following him afar off. This verse says in verse 11, verse number 15, excuse me. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. John said, ain't no use of me trying to hide from them. They know who I am. I love him. John loved him. John wasn't ashamed of him. John stood with him. Walked right in with him. Peter's out here. He's outside. He don't know about this, man. He spoke the word and knocked him down. Now he don't want to do nothing. He just wants to give up. So then John goes out to get Peter, verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also? See that also? That tells you she knows John is. She knows John's his disciple. Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. What are you talking about? You ever been have a chance, the opportunity to witness for the Lord, and you just kind of shut your mouth up and be like Peter? Yeah, I'm just trying to make you think a little bit. You know, thank God for his word. We can learn. Peter made some mistakes. You remember, Jesus dies, he's buried, he's resurrected. Run to Luke, to the left of Luke 24 right quick. We're going to get back over here into the book of 2 Peter. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse number 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, wow, all of a sudden Peter's got a revelation. Wow, I know some things now. I know the scriptures. But you know what he didn't know? He didn't know Romans to Philemon yet. He don't know them yet. He's getting the scriptures, though. The Lord opened to him some knowledge. Peter, now, he's coming along. He's getting a little bit more knowledge. He's growing a little bit. You remember Acts? On your way back to 2 Peter, just stop by Acts chapter number 1. Jesus spent some time with him. And this is kind of just parallel with Luke 24. Acts chapter number 1. The reason Peter's coming along in his knowledge is because of Acts chapter 1 and what we just read in Luke 24. Acts chapter number 1, verse 3. Or the end of verse number 1. All that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days, Jesus Christ taught these disciples about what the kingdom of God was going to be. They're excited about it. Peter gets excited again. I'm not sure if he's not the ringleader in this. He might not be, but verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let's see. Where's that verse at? 6. There you go. I don't know why I passed it by. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're looking for that kingdom. He's taught 40 days on it. I mean, they're excited. Peter's got some more knowledge now, hasn't he? He's getting a little bit smarter. Now go back over there to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Peter's coming on up to speed. He says in verse 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How do they get that grace and peace multiplied? Through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, listen, you can act like the religious world out there if you want to. You can go in the woods and sit on a hollow log. I mean, you can climb up in some altar and you can just beg and cry and say, God, fill me with your knowledge. A lot of them think that, you know. You ain't going to get it. you better get within the pages of this book. And you better do some studying if you want some knowledge. I mean, Jesus opened the verses to them. Guess who will open it to you if you'll put forth effort? God the Holy Spirit will teach you this book if you want to learn it. He'll give you the knowledge and understanding. So don't just beg and plead and pray and do something about it. You know, that's like the lady said one time. It's trying their best to get that beer joint shut down in the little community. Praying and praying, get that beer joint shut down. Couldn't never get it done. Couldn't get the officers of the county to do nothing about it. So, the next morning on Saturday, they woke up. That thing was burnt to the ground. Still smoking. And they come to church that Sunday and they was telling about it. Sally, did you hear about it? She said, yeah. You been praying? Yeah, and I also put legs to my prayers too. You got to do something. You got to get active. You know, make your wheels spin a little bit. Get after it. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us 50%. Some things. One person got it. All things, according as His divine power hath given unto us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Guess what? Peter says God's given you everything you need to know about things that pertain to life and godliness. He's talking to a bunch of people in the 70th week of Daniel. He's talking about people. He's not talking to you and I today. Folks, you and I, we live, what were we? We weren't nothing but a bunch of Gentile dogs, were we? We live in the dispensation of grace. That's where we're at today. Peter's talking to people over here in the wrath. In that time, that 70th week that Daniel talks about concerning the nation of Israel, it's going to be a tough time. Peter's trying to get these people to stand tall, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. It's about that as well, if you go over there and study those books. Look what Peter says here. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. There's that word knowledge again. But see, when Peter writes these things, he now understands Romans to Philemon. He understands Paul's doctrines. He's been studying them. He's been reading them. He knows them. And he says, now these people right here, you got it all. They got it all. They'll have it all in the book. Verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's the lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Amen. Verse 5, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand God's program in what the Lord Jesus Christ done. He died that He might reconcile heaven and earth. You begin to know some things. Brother Ted talked last night about some things in the book of Colossians, I believe it was. You read over there in the book of Colossians. You read Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. You'll find Paul talking about a lot of these same things. They all come together. Bringing this stuff to the point of understanding and knowledge. You know, I guess Peter could say what higher ground, that song Higher Grounds. I've been thinking about that song in relation to this what I was going to preach today. You know, verse number 2 says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where those abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Learn, grow, continue to grow, continue to go forward. That's what Peter's talking about here. He's talking, and listen, he's telling them here, if you forget some of these things, it's kind of like that 90-year-old couple. You know, they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, your health is great, but your memory's slipping a little. So to help you, you need to make some notes of things so you don't forget. So that couple sitting at home watching TV that night. And he gets up to go to the kitchen. She says, hey, bring me a bowl of ice cream. He says, okay. She said, you better write it down so you don't forget. Oh, I can remember that. Put me some cherries, strawberries on top. You better write that down. You might forget. Honey, I can remember that. Okay. She said, oh, put some whipped cream on there too, if you will. She said, you better make a note. He said, I can remember it. You want a bowl of ice cream, you want strawberries, and you want whipped cream on top. She said, that's right. He shuffles into the kitchen. About 30 minutes later, he comes back. Hands her a plate of scrambled eggs and grits. She looked at it for a minute. She said, hey, where's my toast? Kind of funny, isn't it? But now let's turn that around to the Word of God. How is our memory on the Word of God? How do we come to that place of getting God's Word to where we don't forget it? Very important. Very important. Study. Make some notes. That'll work. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 10. What I just said. Verse number 10. 2 Peter, did I say chapter 2? I mean chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1. I heard pages turning. I said it wrong when I heard the pages. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, kind of like the 90-year-old couple, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Read that verse. Excuse me, let me read that verse again. Verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Peter says, look, you need to know some things. You need to understand some things. You need to add these things to your life that he's talking about to these people in the dispensation over here that in the 70th week of Daniel that these people are going through. He's telling them, folks, listen, they're going to have to be sharp so they don't take the mark of the beast. They're going to have to be sharp so that they don't go back. He's trying to get these people to get some knowledge and understanding and not to waver and to make sure their election, their calling. Brother Ted made it plain last night. I didn't go into none of that stuff. How are you called? Through the Word of God. How do you become the elect? You believe and trust. You're made apart. They're made a part of Israel's program. And Peter says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, John chapter number 21. You remember, Peter comes over to that point and Jesus talks to him and says, Peter, you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. You heard that song? Peter, do you love me? Go and feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Take care of the weak. Peter, do you love me? Stand up and be strong. Now I have to go away, but I won't leave you alone. He didn't leave you alone, did he? You have God, the Holy Spirit within you. You have a third part of the Godhead. But you don't only have him. You have the Godhead as a part of your being. It's who you are. That's exciting to me. I'm saved. I'm sure. Are you sure? Raise your hands if you're sure. Peter come to the point. He was sure, didn't he? Now, look, he's stern. He's fable. Stable. Look over at chapter 3. Now, Peter, he's got even more knowledge because he has a hold of Romans to Philemon. And these people in Romans, 2 Peter chapter 3, they're kind of wondering what's going on here. I mean, what are we facing? What are we going through here? Why has it been so long since he come? Why ain't he coming? Peter explains to them what's going on. So, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the world or the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. They're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God. It's the word of God that spoke. More said it's the word of God. God spoke those angels into existence. It's the word of God. By the word of God, the heavens were opened. They are standing out of the water and in the water. You go right on down through there. Here's what I want you to get to. Paul says in Peter says in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace without spot and blemish, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as, I've been tempted to do a message on that. How many times, every time I run across that in my Bible, I circle it. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. Guess what Peter knows? He knows Romans to Philemon. He's already been in them. He couldn't say that if he didn't. How could he say in all his epistles, speaking of them, if he didn't know what was in them? He's got some knowledge. Peter's grown up, ain't he? Peter started out kind of dumb like us all. But you got to learn. You got to study to show yourself approved. And I'm trying to encourage you today to study. If God can do it to Peter, he can do it for you. And let me just speak more plainly on down to earth. If he can do it for me, I know he can do it for you. I was a class clown in school. I really was. I just was. I made it through. Look where I'm at. And I'm trying to get a little bit more ground. I'm trying to learn a little bit more. You know, I like that song again. Let me refer back to the song. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith hath caught the joyful sound. The song of faith is higher ground. Verse 4. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray to heaven I've found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Isn't that your prayer? That's my prayer. Real quickly, look at the book of Philippians, chapter 3. If you study Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and Colossians 3, you'll find a lot of the things that Peter says to the nation of Israel. You'll find Paul tells you, you need to learn, you need to study, you need to understand some things. You need to get some of those things too. And the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of God's word, is only going to help you. And it can bring you to the point where Paul was. You see, when Paul started out, Ed said to think outside the box, so that's what I done. I figured there'd be a lot of people talking about Paul's message. So I thought I'd go a whole different route, and I'd come in from Peter's side. But folks, Peter had to grow. You have to grow just like him. You have to have knowledge just like him. You're just in a different program. You're still saved by the same Lord. It still took the same blood. It still took the same death. It still took the same burial and resurrection to save you. You're just in a different program. Do you think God expects less out of you because you're in grace? Oh, I'm in grace. It don't matter. Probably you ought to be more. You got God, the Holy Spirit, living within you. It took the death of Christ on the cross to bring all that to pass. So Paul says here in Philippians, and I won't lay on this a long time. Just speak it, and then I'll be done and let the next man come along. Philippians chapter number 3, just verse number 4. You want to stand in the flesh? So that's what Peter stood in. Boy, he was ready to cut Michael's head off, wasn't he? Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. How many people you know today standing in the flesh, in the doctrine that they've been taught in their religion? Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and as in Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. How many of you people can say that? You couldn't, because you don't give sacrifices today. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Get rid of your religious habits and your traditions, and be found in him, verse 9. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Why? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that if I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ. Paul's saying, I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. He said, I've already been apprehended of Christ. He said, I've died with him, I'm buried with him, I resurrected with him, walking in newness of life. He said, now I want to walk in that resurrected life. I want to attain to that life that's in Christ Jesus. I want to live that resurrected life in Christ Jesus now that God's given me. I want to come to that point. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now what Peter was telling those people to do over there in 2 Peter? Get knowledge, get understanding. You get it through the knowledge of the Lord, same way you're going to get it. I press, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. I could read on down through there, but I'll stop reading there. Study that passage out. Walk in him. Walk in the knowledge you have in the Lord, but don't stop with the knowledge you have. Press on. Keep studying. Keep learning. Don't quit. Keep going on. Keep getting deeper, deeper, deeper. Walk with him. And sing that song, Higher Ground, and mean it when you sing it. And don't forget 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've had today. Thank you for your word. I pray you'll help us, that we personally, Lord, will continue to study to show ourselves approved unto thee, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing your precious truth. And Lord, we pray the same for all these folks, Lord, under the sound of our voice as well. I pray that we'd press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.